This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the U.S. or around the world. Welcome to the show today, Baseball Outside the Box, the show that loves to interview baseball's great coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. And we are going to have a great show for you today. We're jumping into technology. And remember, we've talked about it on the show. It's important to us. The technology is very good, that it does obviously work, and that, you know, at the same time, it enhances, you know, the fun of the game too a little bit, especially for the young guys. So welcome again, folks. Don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. That is the podcast audio. Subscribe, then check it out, Peter Caliendo YouTube. Go to Peter Caliendo on YouTube. Check out it live there. And if you're on Facebook, folks, if you're joining us this afternoon here in Chicago, 5:15 in the afternoon, if you're joining us, we have a comment section in Facebook. So just type your questions if you haven't in there. Do me a favor. Don't forget. Thank everybody that's you've been able to get on the show. We really appreciate it. And remember, we're in ESPN Honolulu. So welcome everybody from Honolulu. Love that you guys are listening to the show. And we have over 100 countries, people, whether they're coaches, players, or parents, they're interested in the game and the development of the game, they're listening. So thanks to everybody. So let me welcome today our man of the year, I guess we'll call him, or man of the day. This is my very first time meeting Mike, and boy, what an interesting career from baseball, you know, playing college baseball, professional, was in a college, actually pitching a college World Series as a freshman, you know, then went on in AA, and then was also in the DR. We'll talk about that. You know, so you're going from a player to then jumping with Nike as director of sports management, business development. He was with Nike for a while. We'll talk about that. And then now he is the CEO and owner of Strobe Training. And we will definitely talk about that. These are special glasses. That's what the topic's all about today. So let me welcome Mike Cavers to the show. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Pete, thanks for having me. And aloha to the folks in Hawaii there.
There you go. That makes them feel really good. And I do want to ask you, because one thing, because we just met. And I looked at your website and I love the stuff that was on there. Let's just kind of go back in your college baseball career, what position you played a little bit, you know, who you played for, because then we're going to lead into the, you know, pro and then the glasses, and we'll kind of mix all that in together.
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I was all ready to go to University of Texas and walk on. But at the last minute, I went to a workout, or Cincinnati Reds workout in Georgetown, Texas. And the coach offered me a scholarship on the spot. So I went to school at Southwestern University in Georgetown. Small little school, 1,200 students, but very competitive in baseball. We were an NAIA school at the time, but we would play Texas and TCU and A&M and Houston. If we could drive there, we'd play them. And competitive with them, as Pete kind of alluded, my freshman year, we had a real strong team, and we got to go to the College World Series, NAIA World Series in Lewiston, Idaho, and I did get to pitch as a freshman. So not a whole lot of innings that year, but I got thrown in the fire, I guess, in the World Series there. It was a seventh inning or so, and our closer couldn't get anybody out. He walked the bases loaded. So I go in, we're up by a run, no outs, bases loaded. I'm a freshman. I'm out there, knees are shaking. I get the first two guys out. Next guy, 2-0 pitch, hit a little flare over second base, two-run score. They take the lead. The next guy flies out. We ended up losing the game. But third place. So not bad. Not bad for
as a freshman. Wow. And then that took you on to afterwards. You signed with who in double, and you went all the way to AA. How long did you play in the minors?
87, and then I get released in 91 in spring training, but it was with the Baltimore Orioles. That same scout that saw me at the tryout camp for my college is the one that signed me as a non-drafted free agent. I had hurt my elbow my senior year, but went from suspect to prospect, back to suspect. I mean, you hear that a lot. So no, I had some good years there. Got to play down the Dominican Republic one winter. My teammates were Kurt Schilling was down there, David Segee, Mark Parent. You know, there was a bunch of guys. Moises Alou. I'm talking about old guys now. Yeah. They're not playing anymore. Marquise Grissom. So it was. Yeah, I was fortunate to get to play baseball, you know, through high school and college, and at the professional level. And I did fall a little short from getting reach my dreams in the big leagues, but. It's not always made for everybody, you know. No. Those are the breaks.
And what's interesting, something you said you got released. You know, a lot of players get released. That's never any fun. What, you know, this has nothing to do with the glasses, but what is it like when you get released? You know, you're in Double A, your dreams are going further, and you get called in, or however they did it at that time. You know, it was a pink slip or something. But you know, how did that feel? Did anybody talk to you? And if they did, kind of what they said, you know, some of the things they might've said, why you've been released.
You know what it's kind of in shock what all happened. You come in, you sit down and then they say, hey, sorry, we're going to let you go. And here's your check or here, you know, whatever. And there's really not a reason, you know, thanks for, you know, all your efforts. But I look back and reflect on, you know, what kept me from going. And I'd say it's consistency at that level. The year after the winter ball, I pitched about 180 innings or so. The year before, I pitched about 80. So going into spring training in 91, I was gassed. And, so then I'm when you're not doing so well, you try even harder. And the harder you try, the worse you do. And that's kind of will allude to, you know, the glasses down the road, because that kind of helps. But really between my ears, the last year, this the mental side of it, knowing that I was 25 and I needed to get to the big leagues because time's running out, and just putting, you know, too much pressure on myself. So physically have the tools to play, but it comes down to consistency.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, and we're going to get into that. It's interesting, you know, the common denominator seems to be the mental game, right? But prior to the mental game, and this is where we're going to lead to a little bit. Prior to the mental game, you got to be able to also use your vision. And if your vision's not any good, I'm not sure what, you know, I've always said this on the show, if you don't have a pretty good vision and sport and identifying pitches or whatever you're trying to do as a skill, you might as well forget everything else. So why are we not focusing more on that training? I know we got to focus on other things, but especially the vision aspect. So I might as well just ask you straight out, but you know, because it's interesting, how were the glasses developed?
Well, it was, yes, as I maybe I didn't mention. So Dr. Alan Reichow, he was at Nike, global director of vision. There's a thing, it's stroboscopic training. So, and that would be like you go back to football, where maybe a coach would wave one of those big pizza boards, you know, the big things you slide under the pizza, and so you'd be able to see and not see, you know, the like a receiver catching a ball, and then, you know, practice that by limiting the vision, and actually it makes the brain have to work much faster to go get its food. So we can actually speed up the brain. So that's where it actually came from that football time. Now, how can we develop that and actually put it on and have it mobile, have the athlete wear the glasses and go through their drills and the training they need to, you know, prior to and leading up to their game and their performance.
Now, while you were with Nike, I believe you said over about 10 years. Yeah, during that time, Nike produced the product?
Nike and Dr. Reichow came up with the original product, and it was called the Nike Vapor Strobes. And it was well-received, but, you know, Nike does a lot of things right, but they did a horrible job of educating people on how to use it. So it was very limited, the drills, the videos that they had out there. And athletes would have it, or coaches, and they'd, you know, sometimes not use it because I really didn't know how to. Let's flip a tennis ball back and forth. Let's do simple things like that. But there's so much more that you can do, and I'll get to that, you know, later. But so then, yeah, Nike got out of it. The margins weren't that great either. Nike can make a lot more money selling hats and T-shirts because you don't have to educate people about that. Mm-hmm. But this was a technical item that took, you know, a lot of education going. And then another company, Synaptec, took over the Nike the product and rebranded it. And then Dr. Reichow, that made the original Nike, made some big improvements. And that's where we're at right now.
Awesome. Love it. Look, great story. And you know what's interesting? Folks on Facebook, go ahead and type your questions. Thanks for joining us. Also, you know, don't forget, go to the website. It's strobetraining.com, S-T-R-O-B-E. Check it out. You can check it out while we're on the show. If you got any questions, there's a lot on the website that explains what the product is, and it gives you drills and all kinds. We'll talk about that. All right, here, Mike. Now, so let's talk about, you went from the products there, and now it's being used, and you were very lucky to work with Nike. So you also with a lot of major league players, some very famous ones. And I want to ask you this, because when it comes to vision, you know, what's the correlation? I mean, you take the guys that are hitting really well or doing really well or Hall of Famers, their vision or vision training had to be much better than some other players. You know, let's kind of discuss that area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Vision. And there's a couple of different aspects of vision, because we think of vision or seeing things and then how we react based on what we see. So it's not just the vision, but it's one as elite athletes. The game is so fast. The higher level you play, the game gets faster and faster. So if your brain can't process stuff fast enough, you're not going to be able to perform. The game passes you by, the pitch got past you, the ground ball got past you, you know, whatever that may be. So you have to process info faster. And if you process it faster, then your brain can move sooner. The sooner it processes info, the sooner you can move. So that is your reaction time.
So do the glasses help you process that quicker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what they do, I mean, I can show you the glass real quick.
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, you'll be able to see them. If not,
website. Turn them on right here. Okay. We got the glasses. Mm-hmm. Now, I took a strap off of one just so you can kind of see what it looks like. So what happens when we're taking info away from the eyes is that the brain still wants its food. So now the brain is naturally lazy. It doesn't want to have to do more than it has to. So we're putting the brain in a place of resistance where now, since we're taking some of its food away, its visual stimuli, it has to work much faster to get it. So by training with these, and I'll talk about the drills, et cetera, after training, we take him off. And you know, I ask all my athletes, I said, hey, you know, what do you feel, what do you experience? And they go, man, everything seems like it's in slow motion. It seems a lot slower. They're not slower. We're just actually making your brain faster.
Right. Let me ask you, would that be comparable to you're swinging a heavy bat and then you go to a light bat?
Somewhat. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like think of it as putting like you're bench pressing your brain, and I'm saying you're putting on another plate to make it heavier. The more info we keep going up and making the occlusion longer, it's like adding plates to that bench press on your brain, making it have to work a lot faster. And we can actually train it so that it will be processing faster. So just imagine as an athlete that you're seeing the baseball sooner off the pitcher. You're able to track it longer because you're seeing it sooner. Now you can process it longer. Your brain's getting better info and getting longer info. The better info the brain has, the better it can move the body in a position of success. So, but with the stroke training, one is the quickness that we make the brain. And it's like, think of it like your phone. You upgraded from a 3G to a 5G phone. You know, the processor is faster. That's what our brain is. And about 80 to 90% of all of our stimuli goes through our eyes, to our brain. So we mainly move and react by what we see. So again, the brain's lazy. It doesn't like to focus. You know, it'll focus for a while, but then even if you may be looking at me or listening to me, you're probably wondering what's going on outside the room because your brain's getting bored of listening to me talk. So that's one of the key things we're talking about with vision with players is that it. The other part of vision and focus goes side to side, because focus means capturing the relevant information and ignoring the irrelevant. So ignoring the irrelevant is, you know, the crowd noise, the fans screaming at you, the umpire made a bad call, you had an error last thing, the coach is going to take you out of the game. Please don't throw a slider. Please don't throw a slider. You know, I'm 0 for 10 on this guy. You know, all those things, that's stimuli that your brain is processing. And so we need to train to get rid of that. And now all of a sudden we're seeing better because we're not processing the other things in the background. I consider it like, you know, giving your brain filet mignon. We want to capture that filet mignon and eat that filet mignon. We know what's in it. It's nice and lean and good for us. When our focus is bad, it's a greasy bacon cheeseburger that we're trying to process. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, good information in the brain that can put the body in a position for success.
Mike, what's it like when you put it on? So explain to our audience, what does it look like? You know, I don't notice that one was colored. The other one was, what's?
Yeah, there's two. Yeah, I'm sorry, two different models. So there's a sport model and a sport plus tactical. And the difference is how much information it takes away. This one takes away in little 30 millimeter increments, where the other one jumped to like 50 and 60 millisecond increments. So what it is again, we're flashing, we're on, we're off. For baseball example, I have guys, let's start on the hitting. We're all trying to solve that riddle of how to hit a baseball. We'll start on the tee, and then we can continue to hit off the tee up, but I have guys on the tee, we'll keep going up, and I'll make it real hard.
Explain. There's a lever you can make it hard and easier.
Yeah, there's a button on the side, which is a mode button and a plus button. So the plus button makes the occlusion or the blink longer. Okay. And then I can go again, put it up, and then it'll cycle back to the low one. We have different modes on here. This will have the battery on here. So we can do a single eye mode, or flip it over to the other eye.
Explain to our audience, the podcast, what's actually happening there. It's like a lens opening and closing.
So yes. Yeah. Thank you. I remember we got guys that can't see, we need to bring it to life here. Okay. So the glasses, electricity goes through the lens and it causes that occlusion. And occlusion is like a blink. And occlusion is, when if you blinked, your brain's not getting any information through your eyes. So think of it like a blink. But this is like a blink, but allows light to come through. So think of it as milky, like a milky opaque. You can't see through, but then it'll go clear. So from opaque to clear, and it's always clear for 100 milliseconds. Hmm. So at the low level, it's 100 milliseconds where you can't see, followed by 100 where you can. And it goes back and forth, 100, 100. Then we can make the increments a little higher, 130 milliseconds, 160, 190, you know, 210. We can keep making it harder like that. So you're looking, you see something and you don't see it. You see something and you don't see it. And so, as I kind of mentioned, the brain responds by the time you can see it, it has to really go fast to get that information and bring it back in order to tell you where to move. You know, so the brain can perform with this. We're putting resistance on it, but you'll be surprised. The brain will find a way to be successful with this.
And folks, one question, we're not taking calls in right now, but you know, one thing I did forget to mention, coming soon, we will be able to take callers on the podcast, so we can get questions directly done on the podcast instead of typing in the comment section. If you've got one in the comment section now on Facebook, just type it in there. Mike, the other thing is on your website, because, you know, it can get pretty technical. There's a lot of research behind all this that kind of validates, you know, the success people are having with the product.
True. Yeah. And that's what's important for me. I mean, especially with my time at Nike, you know, I had to have the respect of Major League Baseball players, and you can't, you know, BS these guys, you know, so you got to be true and honest and present things correctly. And so I go back and, you know, get on the site, look at the studies. This is all science. This is not a gimmick. There's no snake oil. It's science. It works. And the technology is going to continue to improve, you know, especially in the next year or two. I have some stuff going on that's going to be pretty amazing. So I say, yeah, absolutely, you know, it's a science. And I kind of go back to the vision and focus a little bit, how that all works. I ask every player and anyone who's played will go, hey, when you were playing real well, what was going through your brain? What was going through your mind? And most guys go, nothing. I just see and I react. And that's, you're in the zone. You know, you call it like in the zone. You see and react. And what that is you're not processing that irrelevant information. Because a week later, that same athlete, same physical strength, speed, he's in a slump. Now I ask him, what's going through your head? And he'll say 10 things. So I say, does a slump cause bad mechanics or bad mechanics cause a slump? I think a slump causes bad mechanics. because now, instead of processing the three things, the filet mignon, let's call it, we're processing the eight, you know, for the greasy cheeseburger. For one, it takes longer to process eight things than three things. So think about that. So right there, your reaction time is going to be off based on the more stimuli you're letting creep through your head.
Yeah.
So now if your reaction time is off, now your mechanics are going to fall off too. So again, you know, which is first? So we want to train the brain in a way to have that, that, you know, Tiger Woods focus, that Kobe focus, that LeBron focus. And those guys are able to, when it's time, they capture the relevant information and everything else is blocked out. They say, this is all I need to perform this. I don't need to hear or see any of that other stuff. And again, they're giving their brain filet mignon. They're going to move it in a position for success consistently, because it's the lack of focus or maintaining good focus which keeps us from being consistent. Now, I go back to me as a player. I know that as a fact. You know, I know when I have so many thoughts in my head, it's very difficult to perform. My velocity will go down. My strike zone, you know, I'm not around the strike zone as I should be. And I look at myself playing, but even when I was coaching little leaguers or high school kids or college, and seeing what's going on through their mind and asking them, you know, what are they thinking about? What are they seeing? And it's a lot of the same thing. And again, the shortcomings are based on focus. And I like to kind of share this little history with stuff. So in the 1980s, it got into sports psychology. It was Scott Boris and I can't remember the gentleman's name, Dorfman, I think, was the guy. And in the 1990s, we get into strength training. So everyone's lifting weights and getting big. 2000s, we're more into nutrition now, right? So we got sports psychology, we got weight training, we got nutrition, then we're getting into mechanics. Now we're getting into, there's more like mental skills coach that are out there. And that's the one thing that we're looking to work on. So on the mental skill side, and that's absolutely fantastic. But one thing that it doesn't do, that the stroke training does, is that we can actually speed up the brain, training the brain to work even faster. So mental skills is quieting the brain to eliminate the cheeseburger and get the filet mignon. But this can actually speed up the brain. Go ahead, Pete. I think maybe you had a question there.
No. You
have a question?
No, you were cutting.
That was me.
But keep going.
All right. How is it now?
Good.
I'm good. Okay. Apologize. So I was saying the mental skill side of it. And one thing it lacks is now that the stroke training can do, in addition to your mental skills, is speed up the brain, make it faster. But, and then, you know, making that better focus and the quiet in the mind. Now there's another mode here, which I know they can't see on the podcast, but they can hear about it. We can eliminate one eye. We can block out one eye and have just one single eye flashing. And like, why would we do that? Well, everyone has a weak eye and a dominant eye. And the dominant eye does most of the work. The weak eye, you know, doesn't have to, because the dominant eye takes over. The weak eye gives us bad info, late info, incomplete info. When we get poor or wrong information, how can we move in a successful position? And everyone has a blind spot in their field of vision. Umpires have a blind spot on their field of vision. Hitters have a blind spot in their strike zone. You know, football receivers, maybe they're better catching the ball over the left shoulder than the right shoulder. So we can actually block out the dominant eye and make the weak eye have to do its work, have to wake it up and to challenge it. And it will adapt and it will succeed and find a way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, with my hitters, I'll do that. I'll do the weak eye, you know, and just work on that. Even front toss, they may have trouble. They may foul off or roll over the first one. I'm talking about some professional baseball players.
Yeah.
But then they start squaring it up and they hit it. The brain and the eye will figure out the information it needs where to put the body. Now, let's keep working on that. You know, T-work, we can go to front toss, we can go to the machine, and all of a sudden, you know, once they take it off, and we can train from 5 minutes or, you know, 10, you can do it as long as you want to. You know, there's no, like, limited time. You're going to see results right away, but the thing is with the training is that it's like weight training. You're not going to lift once a week and maintain that strength. You got to, you know, work out that three times a week or so. And so the same thing with our brain and with our eyes. So we need to train, you know, three times a week or more. You can do it every day, And I was mentioning, yeah, so T-work, front toss or side toss, machine, even if guys aren't hitting, maybe they're in the cage or standing out, you can track pitches. Just sit there with the glasses on and just track the pitches, you know, take them off, let's go into the cage and hit. Now I'm seeing the ball sooner, I'm getting better info, and my brain is nice and quiet.
Okay, I want to back up a little bit because you said, sure. You know, we've got the psychology end of it, which calms the mind, and then you got this or the brain, and then this that speeds it up. Now, I know this may not make sense as far as, you know, with the glasses, but if you got both of those going on, one's slower and one's faster, and they're both working on the brain, how do you balance that? Does that make any sense?
When you're saying one's slower and one's faster, which you mean? Oh, well, you mean how your eyes are different, or?
No, you mentioned that, you know, when you're in psychology, you're working on a mental game, you're trying to slow the brain down a little bit.
Right. So, well, we're trying to quiet the brain.
Right, so explain the difference, because now you're gonna speed it up with the glasses.
Got it, yeah. So quieting the brain, and if you haven't been there, it's hard to describe. You know, I got to play it at an elite level, so you know when coaches say, I want you to quiet your brain, that means like you're just, all the other distractions are gone. You're just, and you feel like you're quiet. You feel like your body's quiet. You're not, you know, gripping and shaking. It's that, you know, 0-2 pitch in the bottom of the seventh inning, and everyone's going crazy, and you're going to win or you're going to lose your season based on this. Think of how you get all tensed up in that moment. That's when you got to be more quiet and more relaxed. And that's what professional athletes can do. When the moments get bigger, they get quieter and more relaxed. But younger athletes have a hard time doing that because they're caught up in the emotions of the game and they haven't found a way to train to quiet that body and brain. So the psychology side is we're talking about positive attitude and seeking the positive and you know, closing your eyes and just, you know, seeing how things would go positively in your mind. So that's part of it. So this is with speeding up the brain. We just want to speed up how fast the brain goes and captures its stimuli, its information it needs to run, to hit, to field. So we still have a quiet brain, but we want to have a fast brain. We want to have like a Bugatti or an Aston Martin, you name your car. Let's say a Maserati, it's an Italian car, Ferrari, okay? Yep. And so when our Ferrari's going great and moving well, we got the best gasoline in there, everything's tightened up and polished, and we're going down the road and making those turns easily. Now, when we're losing our focus, that's when the lug nuts start getting unscrewed, and the door cracks open, and the tailpipe is dragging, and the hood goes up. Now you're trying to race down the road with that. That's we want the quiet brain. The quiet brain is the Ferrari with everything all dialed in, not the Ferrari that's starting to wobble and come apart.
Now, as far as using the product, are we starting off, you know, we mentioned all the different drills. Are we starting those off slow, then all of a sudden going eventually to game speed? Not that you're going to use them in a game, but the game speed. Is that how, I mean, you want progress? Or can you just put them on and go right game speed?
No, that's a great question. Great question. So there's different levels of the occlusion. I kind of said there's 100 milliseconds of clear, 100 where you can't see. So we're always going to start at the lowest level, whether it on the model, it's either 70 milliseconds or 100. And we're going to perform our drill, and we want to be successful. If we're successful, we'll go up a level, make that occlusion, that blink a little longer, and keep going as long as we're successful. If it's too difficult, let's go back down a level. So, I mean, I always say when we're doing hitting, you know, off the tee or front toss, I mean, that's not game speed stuff. You know, off the pitch machine, I mean, even like the big league guys, they're hitting stuff off the machine at 85 miles an hour. They're not taking 95 mile an hour pitches off the machine. So you know, you could get up to that game speed, but again, we won't take baby steps until you get successful doing it. So keep, as your brain speeds up, let's speed up the drills we're doing. So I talked a little bit about the offensive side, but for short hops, you know, guys can take little short hops back to each other and do that. Catchers blocking balls, just getting there and just knocking the ball, and then they got to block it. you know, catchers even tracking pitches. So I'll have guys just catch pitches off a machine and just do that. So once we take them off, our brain's faster and more efficient. That's when the catcher has, quote unquote, the soft hands. The hand's already there where he needs to be to catch that ball, the fielder, the catcher, because they're reacting sooner. They know where the body needs to be. You ever heard, you know, someone has soft hands, like that catcher, man, he just makes everything look easy. He's not stabbing and grabbing and the ball's knocking his glove away. You know, so we can actually train to do that. On the pitcher side, I love pitchers doing their balance drills with it. I'll have guys just putting them on and having to pick up the target and really focus on that target, even for some of the bullpen. Go ahead.
In the bullpen with them?
Yeah, I do part of the bullpen too. I wouldn't do the whole part, but it is because what we're doing as a pitcher, as a former pitcher, is that's when we really have to, you know, pick up the target and get that information sooner and just, I don't want to look at the catcher. I don't look at the mitt. I want to look at like a little piece of leather on that glove. I want to look at a stitch. That's the type of focus we need to have. The training they've done with professional baseball or basketball players and golfers, the golfers are looking at a single dot on the golf ball or a single blade of grass behind the golf ball or in front of it. That's what they're looking at. People that aren't professional golfers, they've done the studies where their eye is kind of all over the ball. It's looking at the ball, it's looking at the putter. It's not focused on that one. So when the brain's getting all a bunch of mishmashed information, How can you be consistent? But at the elite level, the pro levels, the basketball guys are picking up the first little piece of the front of the rim. And that's what they're looking at. They're not looking at the whole rim. They're really fine-tuning it to a little bit. So when we're getting our brain better info, again, we can be consistent and have a better performance.
Yeah, and that's why, obviously, the strobe glasses, they're being used, I mean, you know, in MMA, golf, I mean, all kinds of sports now for training. Can an on-deck, let's say we're talking baseball, should an on-deck hitter be using that, you know, watching the pitcher? Does that make
any sense? I would probably have the guy on the dugout using it before he gets on the on-deck circle. One, because if a foul ball came and towards the guy on the on-deck circle, I wouldn't want him to get hit by it. Mm-hmm. Although the lenses are a ballistic-grade lens, ballistic plastic, ballistic-graded lens, so it wouldn't shatter into your eyes. So that's a good thing. The old Nike ones, they weren't ballistic plastic. So I would say, like, the guy in the hole could sit there in the dugout and be tracking pitches and then get there in the on-deck circle and then go and hit, you know. I just have guys like just track the pitches. You don't even have to go in there and swing. Sit there and track, and you'll be surprised how well your focus is when the brain has to focus. The brain's lazy. It doesn't like to focus for very long. So we need to capture that. How can we have Tiger focus, Kobe focus, LeBron focus, Jeter, you know, Dustin Pedroia. I love Dustin Pedroia. I know he just retired, but he's a guy physically, you know, he's not the guy you look at in the clubhouse and go, okay, there's your MVP. There's your all-star. There's your guy. You look at him and go, man, go pick up the towels and stuff in the clubhouse there. And I love him to death. But, you know, you look at him and physically, he's not who you think would be a major league second baseman. But the guy goes on, wins MVP, World Series, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger. And what he did, I mean, is that he has, again, amazing reaction time and great focus. And that's how he can do that. But there's some other second baseman, I'm sure, that was drafted before him that was bigger and stronger, had more physical tools. How come Dustin Pedroia went so far and the other guy you probably haven't heard of? So it's not just a physical side of it, guys. That's the thing. So, and that's the beauty of baseball. You don't have to be some big physical beast to perform well.
Well, that's, you know, what I wonder a lot of times, and I put it on Facebook and social media at times. I mentioned, you know, I said, you know, we're talking about a sport that, you know, you can play at any age, any level. I mean, it really doesn't matter. You know, you look at Altuve, you know, he's not very big, but a lot of these guys are pretty strong. But what's amazing, I put it on Facebook, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I see people put tips on hitting or pitching, and I don't see much on vision. You know, so I'm like, that's great that, you know, your movement is very good, and it's good that you're looking, but how much more can you improve? And you're talking about all positions, which I love. Not only that, all sports, every skill you're working on, you could use these glasses for.
Think about it. If you need better reaction time Absolutely. You know, I raised my hand. Yes, you want better focus. Yes. Is that going to make your performance better? Absolutely. And better body awareness. I mean, one of the things I didn't mention is at the higher levels of occlusion, the more we take away, the brain has to work harder. But now it also is seeking its information from, since it can't get it from the eyes, from the muscles and the nerves. Yeah. That's our proprioceptive system. So now we can make the brain have to learn better balance, because now it has to feel where it is in space instead of see. And that's a crazy thing. I mean, there's some videos on the website. You'll see guys doing balance drills, and I'll have my guys do an RDL with them off and then put them on. And then they go, wow, man, you know, this is a lot harder. And it's exactly, that's what we want. We can improve on our balance. There's a video of Antonio Brown. He's on a Bosa ball, standing on a single leg with arm restraints on and the glasses. Yeah. So he's like tipping all over, and they're throwing footballs to him, and he's catching footballs. Yeah. So it's not just the our vision, but it's our proprioceptive and how we feel. Go ahead.
So it makes sense that, you know, because for over the last 10 years, they're doing a lot of drills now in the game of baseball that, you know, to kind of, you know, get you off balance and swing the opposite way and do all kinds of different things. But if you got the glasses on now and you're doing those uncomfortable things, you're really training the mind and the body really well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, someone has used the term overtraining, you know, we're like overtraining. So, and I put up a post on Instagram about, I said, training the chaos, and the chaos becomes less chaotic. So yeah. we're training where we're at that crazy time of the game, the crazy part of the game where we're going to have to find a way to be successful during the crazy time. And we can keep training like that, and it becomes easier. We find a way to be successful, because there's not a lot of those crazy times that people get to perform in. So how successful can you be if you've never been in that situation so many times? So when that's one of the things that we can let, you know, like some guys will say, hey, here's my practice, but coach, game comes on, I'm going to flip the switch. I'm going to turn it on come game time. Why are you turning on game? It should be turned on in practice. It should be turned on even above in practice, so that the game time, and again, when you make things harder, the game gets easier, your performance anxiety goes down too. Because all of a sudden you're seeing things sooner, your head is clearer. That's a quiet body, quiet mind. And that's where, you know, you feel more calm, you feel more confidence, confidence begets more confidence. So it's a part of training now that we really are just scratching the surface of. And that's why we're having this conversation, because there is an education piece about it. You know, I say, hey, strobe glasses, get them and go. And guys will go, yeah, great. But I want everyone that gets them, that they get me. That we want to have that conversation. Like, what are you doing? What's your sport? What time, you know, do you have to do this stuff? Let's figure it out and make a plan for you. So, and then once I can do that and replicate more people, the more it'll grow. So, I didn't even mention, I know we're talking baseball, but there's a lot of military and police applications too with this, with shooting, with the reaction time, with tighter groupings.
Umpires training with them? They see the fast.
You know what? I have a guy just, Charlie Strasser. You remember, he was with the Dodgers forever as they were training. He reached out. I got to reach back out to him, but I know he's doing some stuff, some training with umpires. But absolutely, umpires could benefit it, especially, again, the weak eye, dominant eye. If they work on that weak eye, that one part of the strike zone, they may have a little difficulty calling. We could help him improve on that.
Well, and what's interesting, and I've got some friends that are major league supervisors, and I haven't had a chance to talk to them, but what's interesting is, and I know they go through some type of training once in a while, but what's interesting is, you know, these are the same umpires that were, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that guys were throwing 89 on the average, you know, not 98. Right. All of a sudden the speed went up that much more, but yet you're training, and I'm not just talking about umpires, I'm talking about everybody. Your vision training is not going to, should not get better. You're seeing 10 miles an hour faster on fastballs with movement. So you would think vision training would be, again, at the top of the list, top of the training, you know, pyramid.
It's, yeah, I mean, and it's something that we can train. I mean, this vision and how the brain functions and the efficiency of the brain, the consistency. So absolutely, yeah, that's a great to bring out the umpires.
Let me ask you, how do you, as far as, okay, I'm using it I'm going to use it 3-4 times a week, maybe, right? And if, let's say the first week I do it, a couple of weeks I do it, okay, I see improvement, I skip 3 days. Does that stay with you for a little bit? It might be a difficult scientific question. Does it stay with you where it allows your brain to work faster, or does it regress till you start training it again?
It may dip a little bit. I mean, it's not going to go away like that overnight, because we are going to build up a threshold of where our baseline is. So we're going to get a little faster. We're going to have to increase that baseline of where we're at. But as I said, if you don't lift for a week, you know, you don't expect to be just as strong or be able to hit those weights. We want to continue with it. You know, whatever we're doing as an athlete, I mean, we're stretching every day. You know, we're running every day. We're doing all these other things to help us prepare for the game. And so this should be just another tool in the box. And, you know, I think, you know, the value of it, it's more valuable than any bat. You know, if you can see better, react better, and have a $100 bat and squared up all the time, or you have a $400 bat, and all of a sudden you look, it looks all good and shiny, but, you know, you're not hitting well, what would you rather have?
Well, you just explained that the majority of Dominican players, you know, because they're great athletes, and they, you know, and they don't have the equipment, but yet look how well they play. They don't need great equipment. They may not train on vision, or they may have other ways to train on vision. But I was going to ask you to take us back in time for a second here, and I meant to ask this earlier, and that was, and again, I'm not 100% sure about this, but if we go back in time, was there something you and I were doing back then that we didn't realize is what the glasses are doing now? I'm not trying to find a replacement for the glasses.
Hey, can you hear me okay? I think I may have, you hear me all right? Hey, Pete, I think I kind of froze up a little bit. Just give me a thumbs up if you can hear me.
Yeah,
here we go. Yeah, no, you know, I really haven't thought about that question, about what I was doing that would cause my brain to speed up or to have better focus. You know, I mean, there's, for focus, you know, there's, you know, breathing things and just visualization. I remember in high school, we would have to like close our eyes and do five, you know, things through our head each time. You know, here comes a curveball and you're going through your mind here, swinging a curveball, moving your body through there, fielding a ball, and kind of with your eyes closed and visualizing it. You know, so those are some of the things I mean, it doesn't really apply. I remember like it threw some weighted balls way back when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have the lighter ball and the heavier and heavier, and then you get rid of that and you throw the regular ball and it's like, whoop, you know, it's jumping out of your hand. So Absolutely. That's kind of similar, I suppose.
Yeah, no, and I was curious about that. I don't know why it came up. Sometimes I think of something and I just want to mention it.
I'll add something about the Dominican when I was down there. That I saw one thing. You know, we see like great big water jugs that, you know, like 10-gallon water jugs, and you peel off the little top, that cap. You know, it's about the size of a pop, you know, of a soda can, little plastic, maybe about a half inch thick in plastic. So the Dominicans, they would take those and a broomstick, and they would throw those little caps and have to hit it with a broomstick. Yeah. And those things don't go straight either. I mean, they're curving, they're rising, they're dipping, and just that. Having to focus, you know, on those little things. All of a sudden, now when you put a big bat in the hand or the ball, that's a lot easier. So they're kind of overtraining in a way too.
And they already had vision training just by doing that. At least some start to it. You know, better than not doing nothing at all.
And taking ground balls off, you know, some bumpy fields or streets or rocks. Heck yeah, that's going to make your reaction time better. Now you got to be more focused, ready for the bad hop, expecting a bad hop versus it's going to come right to you. So those are some of the things. And I absolutely love my time in the Dominican vacation there a couple of times since. It's amazing culture and amazing ball players down there for sure.
Hey, Mike, we got about 5 minutes and I want to ask you about this as far as, you know, the product. What have players been telling you? Have they been using it like for 5 minutes at a time, or if some used it a lot longer? Some figured out maybe a lot longer. They didn't, you know, didn't really, I mean, they didn't feel comfortable keeping it out too long. What's been the diagnosis there?
I mean, there's been, you know, maybe like two people and all the people I've contacted that didn't like the glasses. There was one golfer and he felt like he got a little dizzy. And then there was another person that had migraines. Some people that have migraines, it kind of affect them. If you're prone to seizures, obviously you don't want to use that, but you'll find out, you know, right away by doing that. And it depends on the athlete, how long they do it. So, you know, some people work with them religiously, but you'll see even after 5 minutes of training with them, then you take them off, that again, brain's faster and you're seeing things, more better focus, you know, clearing that brain. But, you know, the more you do, the stronger the brain's going to get. We want to raise that baseline of your reaction time and your focus to a higher level.
Yeah, and you know, with the brain speeding up, which means then it allows the eyes to see much better, and you mentioned to pick up the ball sooner or as soon as possible.
Yeah, the sooner we get the information and the more information we have, I mean, more meaning relevant information, not more meaning everything in the background, but we're getting more info on the ball, exactly the depth of it, the speed, the spin, the trajectory, the plane, you know, the more information we have on that the brain can calculate where the body needs to be. So again, if we're picking up the ball late or getting poor information or inconsistent, we're going to be inconsistent squaring up that ball too.
Absolutely. And Mike, this has been awesome. And I want to finish it off with this because I think, you know, we need to continue to get this word out. You know, there's a lot to it, obviously, whether it's the science behind it, whether it's the product and the drills and everything. But what else have we missed here? Because, you know, I can only ask certain questions. Is there something that you wanted to talk about that was so important to the glass, you know, about the glasses that we didn't get? You there, Mike?
I just kind of answered more or less everything there, but even, you know, the young kids, you know, 10 years old and up, you know, they can start using them. You know, there's a strap on there so you can tighten it up on their face. So it's really not too young. As long as it fits on your face, you're going to be able to do that. And the kids have fun with it too. They go, oh my gosh, this is hard. And they're able to catch the ball and do those things. And they're actually training, but having fun doing it. There is I don't have it scientifically can say it, but anecdotally that even doing homework, you know, the kids put this on and they do some drills before homework. All of a sudden they take it off. Now their focus is here on the book in front of them. Yeah. So I've heard that from students and parents that's kind of a side benefit of it as well. But I can't say that scientifically, just anecdotally.
You know, what's interesting, and I did say it was the last one, but I want to ask one more. And that is, because you brought the idea of, you know, the kids playing catch. You know, one of the toughest things for young kids is the fear factor. We know the ball's hard. So obviously, you know, if you don't have good technique, but man, again, let's go back to what you said earlier. All of a sudden we're training with the strobe glasses, the brain speeding up, you know, and tell me where I'm wrong. It, you know, it's getting good information. It helps the eyes. How much better would that be for young kids that are trying to play catch that are fearful of the ball? The eyes are going to make them a little bit more comfortable and maybe, like you said, correct the technique.
Yeah, I would not play catch back and forth with the glasses on because you never know what the ball is going to be. It may come to your face. But yeah, I mean, like ground balls, we know what's going to be down low and you're hitting off the tee and stuff. We know where the ball is going to be. So, I mean, you can throw with them on, but when it's time to catch, you know, flip them up and then catch the ball. I always want to be safe with the kids.
Yeah, no.
I think I know what you're getting at, though, is that, yes, so if we're making that harder and they're able to catch those ground balls or even roll a ground ball to them, or even if it's a tennis ball and you're doing a drop step, throwing it over their shoulder, they have to go get it. A tennis ball, soft ball, you know, something that's not going to hurt them. And then, yeah, they're going to see the ball sooner and that anxiety goes down too. A lot of those kids that are scared of the ball, it's that anxiety. They're frozen, you know, and by the time they have to make a decision, it's too late. And then they're, yeah, just not making a good decision of being in the wrong spot.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring that up because I'm thinking, okay, so then maybe they can toss the ball underhand, you know, start at a short distance. You know,
absolutely.
As you get more comfortable. And so I'm thinking more of, okay, you're going to train that way or toss the ball in the air on your own at least, you know, and start working on catching a ball, like you said, soft one.
or throw it against the wall, you know, and just catch it. So yeah, it doesn't have to be baseball, any type of ball, you know, it could be one of the soft balls, a tennis ball. And again, if somehow it hits the face, it's not, you know, it's ballistic plastic, but I always say, yeah, start on the safe side, do stuff easy, and then work your way up. But even just a tennis ball, flipping it back and forth for 5 minutes and then taking them off. Yeah. You're going to see everything and you're not going to drop a ball. Football players love it, man, because often the receivers, they go, my gosh, everything seems slow. And this, you know, the body and the hands are in the right spot.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up about the fun part of it, because no doubt about it, it doesn't matter what age, they're all going to have a blast using them.
I just want kids to get to that next level, you know, to be the best they can be. And a lot of it is, yeah, between the ears, where, you know, gosh, poor kids, you know, mom and dad are screaming at them and from the other side of the fence, and the kids, they don't want to hear that stuff. But let's find a way to that they can tune out their mom and dad too, and not have to have that anxiety thrust upon them. But if we can get them better, get them to go play high school, or get them to be a starter in high school, get them to play college, JUCO, you know, 4-year school, whatever, and then you get to play pro ball. And then if you play pro ball, let's get you all the way to the big leagues. But let's have these kids play another year or two or three. It's such a great game, and you know, even if they're not great players, but let's have them love the game and know the game so they can be good coaches when their kids grow up.
Absolutely. And what about, you know, finally, you know, we're talking about folks, you know, improving your vision to accomplish certain skills. Wow. I mean, why not start them as young as possible? Mike, fantastic, man. It was a pleasure meeting you. I know it was our first time. I love the product. And, you know, want to wish you the best with it.
Pete, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. And again, it's just an education piece. The more I can share, the more people know, and then we make some better athletes. But yeah, thank you very, very much.
All right, folks. Mike Cavers, again, with Strobe Training. He's the CEO and owner. You know, we're going to get everything on the website and also on the show notes, so you'll have his information, the website, all that. Remember, strobetraining.com. So again, special thanks to Mike. Special thanks to Brian Crock, our producer with the Liner Media Group. Well, thank you, everybody. ESPN, Honolulu. And finally, remember, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com for the audio. Check out Peter Caliendo on YouTube. Subscribe to both. Get updates. And that also helps spread the show. And we really appreciate it. 100 countries. It's because of all of you out there. We really appreciate getting the show out to players, parents, and coaches in the game. Love you all. Stay healthy. Stay safe. God bless you. See you in the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.